No, the goal, original goal, is to try to become the first NFL player to ever climb the seven summits. And when that got pushed out a year, I said, you know what? I'm going to double down, and I'm going to not only go up and climb Mount Everest, I'm going to come back down, and then I'm going to go up the other side, which is Lhotse, the fourth highest mountain in the world. And that, at the end of the day, that didn't happen because I would have died on Lhotse.
Welcome to the Spartan DECA series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
What's up, Spartans? Welcome to the DECA series on the Spartan Up podcast. I'm your co-host, Jared Cogswell, along with my brother, Yancey Culp.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.
So, brother, what a weekend, huh?
The last DecaFit of the year in New Jersey. Man, and this one sold out early. We had the DECA Cyborg show up, of course, but at a grander scale than I've ever seen. We had so many of the, you know, when we say for all levels of fitness, that open field was 500 plus, and we enjoyed almost twice as much time out there in the arena with the open categories. And as you and I both know, that's the main reason we built DECA, and that it filled my heart, man, seeing so many of them jump out there on the course after the DECA Cyborgs conquered it.
Yeah, you know, it was fun at the venue too. I thought Iron Peaks Sports and Event Center, it was just an awesome facility. I mean, for the DECA arena, right? And the turf, just everything looked phenomenal. I thought our team did just a great job putting it all together. There was a lot of smiles, a lot of great energy. And to wrap up 2021 with DecaFit there, it just seemed like the perfect place. You know, Todd Durkin coming in as a keynote speaker on Friday night and lighting up the crowd there. And then it just flowed right into the energy of Saturday. So I'm really proud of our team, and I'm really proud of everybody who participated. It just felt like one big happy family testing their fitness and having a great time doing it.
And the affiliate program has grown. We've seen that. I would say half of those participants, the competitors, were from our affiliates. We had our affiliate gym owners and general managers and fit pros all over the place. And how freaking cool. It was on an indoor football facility. How well does that mesh in with our freaking guest that's coming up?
Well, Yancey, that leads us to our special guest on today's podcast. And, you know, I think both of us had a really fun time digging in and learning more about this guest. You know, he's a former NFL football player. You know, definitely, you know, when you dig deep, a good human being, a philanthropist, and I'm interested to hear more about the causes that he stands behind. He's also a successful podcaster, definitely a successful entrepreneur, but he's also now, you know, at the elite level in the mountaineering world. As he has climbed the seven summits. And for our audience members that don't know what the seven summits are, those are the highest peaks on every single continent on around the globe. And that's a pretty amazing feat. And he uses all of these experiences to inspire individuals and corporate teams and you know, all likes of those communities out there, to inspire them personally and professionally. So I want to welcome to the show, Mark Pattison. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much. Great intro.
I tell you, JC and Mark, as a fellow podcaster, I think you know this. One of the coolest experiences as a podcaster is getting able to dive in and learn a lot about some amazing guests. And I was doing some research on you, and I went as far back as I could, and I was like, okay, here's the gentleman that was the starting quarterback for his high school. And then he moves on to play for the Washington Huskies. in the Washington Huskies heyday, I actually called my dad and I was like, Dad, do you remember us watching that Orange Bowl when the Huskies beat Oklahoma? Because I'm a Longhorn fan, so we hate Oklahoma. And I just remember, I was like, this was, here I am in middle school and early high school. You're there in the Huskies heyday. You go on to 5 years in the NFL, an amazing marketing career. I learned that, heck, you were responsible for all the green marketing for Starbucks and umbrellas all over the country and working with Microsoft and Amazon. This amazing career. I learned that you actually started and sold a gaming company. And I'm like, it was the most, I felt if I interviewed 1,000 mountaineering athletes and climbers out there, there's nobody that came from this background. I want to know, my first question, man, is like, what sparked you to say, what sparked the love for mountaineering and climbing and being out there in many cases by yourself or with a very small group so far away from QB1 and in the limelight of playing for Washington and then NFL and this big marketing career when you're in board meetings with lots of people to go to that? Where was the spark, my friend?
Well, a lot to unpack right there. You know, I'm actually now an executive for Sports Illustrated, so that's a whole nother story. And that's it all comes full circle, too, because the Orange Bowl that you just referenced, I happened to catch a pass, the go-ahead touchdown to win the game in kind of the final minutes there. And where it all started was a couple years before, and I finally got my chance. And, you know, a lot of where this all comes from is from my great head coach at the time, Don James. He's since passed. A lot of people probably don't know who he is, but
legend.
He turned into become a Hall of Fame coach. And at the time I went to the University of Washington, we didn't know that was going to be the, we obviously win as much as we did and went to 5 bowl games every year I was at the University of Washington. But my first catch my first big moment, I would say, it was my first home game in Husky Stadium. And we were playing Michigan. We're down by 2 touchdowns. Similar type deal. We came from behind and, you know, the final seconds of the game, 10 seconds or something, they threw me a pass and I went up over the guy and caught it in the end zone. And I end up in Sports Illustrated. Now here I'm executive for SI. So it's pretty cool how life comes full circle. But you're asking about the mountains, you know, and I think, you know, there's been this kind of this long path, and it really did start with Coach James. And back in high school, you know, I was able to really do what I wanted to do on the playing field. And when I got to the University of Washington, I felt that I was completely overwhelmed. I looked out there and I saw these guys that were big and strong and cocky and confident. And I wasn't that guy at all. I'd never really trained in that kind of way. And so it was really a decision for me. Like, if I was going to go forward, what was I going to do? And so Don James provided this pyramid of success, which he had gotten from Coach Wooden, who had coached UCLA for all those years. And it really provided the blueprint for success. And this is like the key takeaway for me. And this is what has really helped me continue to get and do these different things and start these different companies and be involved in Sports Illustrated and climb the 7 summits and play in the NFL and everything else. But when you start talking about the blueprint, the pyramid of success, it's really these 25 individual and team goals that they set. And so each one back in the day, everyone can be applicable, whether you're doing a Spartan race or whether you're doing, you know, in my case, playing in the NFL or starting a business or something. But there's individual and team goals that lead up to the pinnacle of what you're trying to do. And that pinnacle in those days was defined as competitive greatness. And competitive, and it's so true in so many things I've seen. The competitive greatness is really loving the process and being at your best when your best is required. And that is the key. That's the key nugget. And the difference between me and a lot of these things and other people is that I just don't give up. I get a strategy, I step into it, I do it with daily discipline, and I completely commit. And that is the difference. Now, asking the question about how do I get into mountaineering, I'm kind of taking a detour around on this. I was going through a bad patch about 10 years ago. But look, guys, at the end of the day, we all go through bad patches. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? And what I really needed to do to pull myself out was to go back to that blueprint. And that blueprint was, I need to apply this to this next big thing I'm going to do. And the only thing that I could think of at the time was to do something so huge. I call it a BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, and stick it out there. And the thing that I thought that would like blow my mind and take me to a place I'd never been and step into the fear was to try to become the first NFL player to ever climb the Seven Summits. I didn't know anything about it. You know, I'd done mountaineering. Yancey, you talked earlier about the mountaineering, Mount Rainier and the other Cascades. Maybe, Jerry, that was you. But, you know, I did do a lot of that with a lot of frequency, but that's not the serious type of mountaineering that you need. And so the long and short of it is I have spent the last roughly 9 years trying to climb seven of these mountains, and COVID and Mother Nature and other things pushed me back a few different times. So I had to just keep coming back and keep training and keep at it. And that's really how it pulled me out of this tough spot. I was able to really set myself to the future and really get clear. And it's provided a ton of opportunities, which we can talk about here in a few minutes, but a ton of opportunities by emerging and going through this process and just really seeing the light on the other side.
Yeah. You know, I think in most cases, Mark, you know, people would, quote, settle just to go climb Mount Everest. And you said, not only going to climb Mount Everest, but I'm going to go climb six other peaks that are the highest on the continents. And a lot of those mountains are legit climbs. Those aren't just hikes up mountains. I mean, there's so much weather to contend with. You know, it's interesting as somebody that enjoys the mountains and climbing myself. You know, I've always referred to the mountains as church. You know, it's a place that, you know, can fill up your spirit, you know, when maybe that spirit level is low. But it also, I think that the really great thing about climbing is it demands maniacal focus, you know, and so it kind of, you have no choice but to get away from those troubles that you may be having on solid ground. Is that something that you would relate to in the mountains for yourself?
Well, it really went through probably a 2-year period of healing, you know, and my dad died of, I'll tell you what it is. My dad died of a massive stroke. I went through an awful divorce. I didn't want it. And, you know, breaking up the family and everything else was really hard on me. And so, to your point, being in the mountains, being in nature, the tranquility and the serenity that somebody gets because you're unplugged, you're not, you know, stuck to your computer, not having all these distractions come through. And then, you know, part of the keys to success too, at least for me, is then in nature, really filling my mind and my brain, because of the concentration that you have to have. A lot of times I'd just be out there and be listening to podcasts, and I don't listen to podcasts like The Adventures of Mickey Mouse or something. I mean, everything is uplifting and spiritual, and you know, it's feeding your mind full of positive thoughts that are going to help propel you to the next level. And so kind of a combination of all these things and time for me was kind of a healing tonic that I needed to really get through all this different stuff. And you know, at a certain point in time, you know, you do heal, you do move on. But I attribute, you know, so much of my success and my ability to kind of overcome this through being in nature. And I was living in California too. And 4 years ago, I just picked up my life and say, you know what, I'm going all in. I'm going to commit, and I'm moving to Sun Valley, Idaho. So I live at 6,000 feet now. And that's also really helped me in terms of, not only am I across the street from the mountains, which is amazing, but, you know, it's helped me in terms of my acclimating to these different high peaks around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back to this interview, but first a message from today's sponsor, Durolane. You know that knee pain can really slow you down. Sometimes that knee pain is due to osteoarthritis, a disease that affects some 14 million Americans. Learn about osteoarthritis knee pain and how to alleviate it at oaknepainrelief.com. You'll find information there about non-surgical, non-opioid treatments for osteoarthritis knee pain that may help delay the need for knee surgery. One treatment you'll find there is Durolane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months of relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. It's indicated for the treatment of mild to moderate osteoarthritis knee pain when conservative treatments have not worked. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. Full prescribing information is at Duralane.com. Spartans say no to limits. You can learn more at oakneepainrelief.com. That's oakneepainrelief.com. All right, back to the interview.
Mark, so you mentioned the big, hairy, audacious goal. That may be one of my favorite acronyms of all time. I'd let you know that before I dive into my next question. So I can't relate in any form or fashion, but I could only think about the planning, the training, the effort that went into the Seven Summits. I'm guessing we're talking about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months in some cases from start to finish, and times seven. So many times we lose focus. You know, we dive into a small goal, and it's easy to lose focus. I just love to hear your mindset wrapped around, okay, I've got seven summits, and when you first realized that, as you start beginning this journey, is like, this is 5 to 10 years of seeing this through.
Well, I actually thought it was going to be 7 years, seven summits, 7 years. And I forgot about, you know, there's things called bad weather, -80 degree weather, which I ran into on Denali, which is up in Alaska. But to your point, it's been a fascinating journey to travel the globe and go to all these fascinating places. My goal from the start was to always do one mountain per year. But because the way the globe lines up, especially on the other side of the world, our summers are their winters and our winters are their summers. And so it didn't all line up exactly, kind of to your point, where everything was exactly 12 calendar months away. Because in some cases, you know, I think I was in Australia in March, and like 4 months before that, I had been in South America or something. So it was more based on a calendar year, but not a full 12-month cycle. And so in some cases, it was a full year. In some cases, to your point, it would be 5 or 6 months. And so there's the planning of logistics on what you're going to do. There's the what you're going to wear to make sure that you're adequately suited up for the extreme weather conditions that most of the time I was facing. It is getting all the, this would be logistics, but your food, or the flights and all that kind of stuff, and visas and all that kind of stuff all set up. And then in between that was this training. You know, what are you taking on? What do you need to know about it? Like in Mount Everest, for example, I'd climbed a mountain called Vincent Massif, which is down in Antarctica. And I climbed that in January of 2019. And the plan was to go to Mount Everest in 2020. But then in March of 2020, when I was set to go to Nepal, the world shut down due to COVID. And, you know, it was over the moon, if you can imagine, like, which actually happened to many of our Olympic athletes. You thought they were going to go to Japan and compete in the Olympics. And all of a sudden, yeah, that world championship, that Super Bowl, whatever you've been planning for, that's been pushed out. And you don't know, like, am I going to be ready? And so I really had to dig down, and I trained like an animal for 2 years. And what I actually did is I reset the goal. And so I told you at the very beginning of this conversation that, you know, the goal, original goal, is to try to become the first NFL player to ever climb the Seven Summits. And when that got pushed out, a year, I said, you know what, I'm going to double down, and I'm going to not only go up and climb Mount Everest, I'm going to come back down, and then I'm going to go up the other side, which is Lhotse, the fourth highest mountain in the world. And that, at the end of the day, that didn't happen because I would have died on Lhotse. I got into a fairly mission critical state on summit day on Mount Everest, but you're there for 2 months, and the planning was for really 2 years. And, you know, just, you know, it's just hard to keep your mind in the game. And so there's all these little tricks and strategies and everything else that you have to do to keep your headset or your mindset ready so you can prepare yourself and be in a position, like I said, be at your best when your best is required. And you got to love that process because all these bumps and obstacles come in the way.
Mark, I want to touch base on your movie. If I have the date right, the movie comes out tomorrow, correct?
It's tomorrow night, yeah. And so there's, look, I'm so blessed and fortunate because how many people get a movie made about them, right? And so the NFL came calling back in January. And again, you never know what the blessings are going to be. And going back to when COVID shut the world down, you know, it's like the world, the sky is falling and we didn't know what was going to happen. All of us, you know, around the globe, here in the United States. And I'd done all this training. I'd packed my bags. I'd gone to California. I was ready to go. And then we shut it down. And so I had to reset that. So at the time, you think it's a big disaster. And so it's just like, how do I reset that? But if that hadn't happened, the NFL wouldn't have called, right? And so they just needed that time duration to like find me and decide that they want to do that story. So if I had done the mountain a year before, you know, we wouldn't be talking about this. But nonetheless, the NFL came calling. And they flew out to Sun Valley. They did a lot of filming. Ed Veister's, as I said, is in the movie. Jim Moore is in the movie. My daughters are in the movie. But, you know, we did a bunch of filming. And then because of COVID, they were prevented from going to Nepal to shoot. So they gave me a bunch of GoPros. So a lot of the footage that you see on the mountain, one of which is in that trailer, is me falling off a ladder into a crevasse, which wasn't fun. But it's a 30-minute full feature doc. And the cool thing about it, it's not about me necessarily. Here's a guy climbing a mountain, like most of the climbing movies have been about other people in that way. It's really about a guy who was going through a tough time, found the mountains, got healed, was able to kind of redirect that energy towards trying to help his daughter, Amelia, who has epilepsy, and then in doing so, hooked up with the organization here in Sun Valley called Higher Ground, of which we've raised a bunch of money. Actually, we created a campaign called Amelia's Everest, and the NFL is throwing in money towards that campaign. Yeah. The Raiders have thrown in money towards that campaign. And it's the healing of that. And so really, you know, a passion with purpose, which is really... is I think that the core theme of my climbing these different mountains around the world, and at the end of the day, trying to help others.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about Amelia's Everest, and can you tell us a little bit more about that for our audience?
Yeah, so my daughter Amelia has had epilepsy since she was 8 years old. She's 22 now, and you know, when I got first involved in helping Water Boys, that was great. I raised a bunch of money towards that. I actually, you know, raised enough money to build my own water well, dedicated that well to my dad who died of a massive stroke. And then my daughter started to get pretty mission critical about 2 years ago. She was attending the University of Arizona and I flew down there. And while I was down there, I was just like, you know, it's great, you know, Chris Long, what he has going on, but I need to help my own daughter. And so I reached out to the Epilepsy Foundation, which ultimately rolled into Higher Ground and partner with these different people to create these different campaigns. And so, you know, the fun and kind of rewarding thing, and I'm not saying it's because of this necessarily. I think it's because of a combination of medicine and maturity and some of these other things. But, you know, by having Amelia kind of be the poster child out there, to have her in the movie, to have a lot of people talk, have her talk on Zoom events that Higher Ground has organized. It's really given her this empowerment, and that's what, you know, it's been about. And it's really what it's about for all of us, right? And so giving the confidence that she's been able to have, she has not had a seizure in 7 months. It's the first time in her life that she hasn't had daily seizures. I mean, think about that, going through every single day. I mean, if she had 10 seizures a day, that was a win, just so you know. And so to be seizure free, and possibly she can get a driver's license and things like that. But, you know, this has been the kind of the blessing and the miracle out of all this. And like, I go back to that tough time I was going through, and that moment in time when I thought it was a curse actually became the biggest gift of my life. I wouldn't be podcasting. I wouldn't have climbed the seven summits. I wouldn't be involved in this philanthropic work that I do. There's a book coming out. There's a movie. You know, all these things wouldn't have happened if I hadn't got launched. And so often, you know, it's life lessons that bad things happen to us. And it's the sky's falling. It's a disaster. And how do I go forward? And when actually it might be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, those moments that are dark end up being the light for a future time. So that's amazing. Well, Mark, we are excited to see that movie, and we'll definitely be checking it out tomorrow night. How can people contact you?
You know, the best way is just go through my website, markpattisonnfl.com, and hopefully you've got an audience out there that will see this. You can also live stream the movie, by the way. If you go there, there's a big red button that says check out the movie, and there's a one-minute trailer, and beyond the trailer, there's a buy tickets, and you can either come to Sun Valley and watch it in person, or you can live stream it. We've actually got a whole show planned. You know, we've got a country musical star that is a friend of mine. He's going to be up there and he's going to do some singing. And then we've got a little thing with Higher Ground. And then we move into the movie. So it's going to be great. I've seen the film and they did a great job.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the DECA series on Spartan Up Podcast. Spartan Up is your partner in resilience for mind, body, and spirit. We're here 3 days every week. Tuesdays, you can find Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, interviewing biohackers, business leaders, authors, and athletes. Thursdays and Saturdays, catch episodes from our DECA, Endurance, Trail, Combat, and La Ruta series. Do you know someone who needs a little nudge? Maybe they could use some motivation, tactics to be stronger, healthier, happier, more successful. Tell them about our show. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. We want to know who's watching and who's listening. Thanks. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Duralane, a single injection that may provide up to 6 months relief from osteoarthritis knee pain. Risks can include general knee pain and pain at the injection site. You can see full prescribing information at Duralane.com.